This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan, and I am so very glad that you are joining us today. Hey, I am so excited about the guest I have on the podcast today. And it's funny because I had to even remember I need to press record because I've just been having so much fun talking to Rachel. So let me introduce you to her. On the podcast today, we have Rachel Wade. Rachel, welcome.
Oh, Katie, it is so good to be here on the Best Day Ever podcast. Thrilled and honored to be with you today.
And Rachel is joining us all the way from San Francisco, California. And I say that some of you are probably from California. And so you're joining me all the way from Texas. But Rachel is a San Francisco-based wife, mom of two, and a teacher who is passionate about encouraging and equipping women with the word of God. And then I love this about you, Rachel. Rachel says when she's not teaching and writing, she is wiping noses, folding laundry, driving kids around, and then my favorite, hanging out in her comfy pajamas at home with her family.
Oh, yes. Gotta have good pajamas.
You know, and I might have a pair or two of comfy pajamas because sometimes it's fun to switch it up, but still be in the comfy pajamas. And then listen, you know, Rachel, you say that you enjoy, okay, and I don't even know if I never know how to say this word right, but you enjoy a nice, is it charcuterie board?
Charcuterie. That Texas girl in you is coming out.
Like, what is, I don't even understand. I've seen the word, and I've even been invited to parties to make one of these things. And I'm like, I don't even know how to say this. So now I know. Charcuterie board.
Charcuterie. Yeah. It's just a fancy cheese and cracker platter, but just the fancy word that we use here in California.
But here's my question though, is do you make them like into a design? Like, are your boards like a snowman? Like, you know what I'm saying? Does it look like a snowman?
Yes, I definitely know what you're saying because I'm looking right now at my coffee table that has a charcuterie board book that someone gifted me where you can literally make a charcuterie board into every holiday season. And I use that for inspiration, but have not done it yet, Katie. So you get a kind of a nice charcuterie board when you're at my house, but I do have friends that do that.
And so for all of you listening, so you're going to get a nice charcuterie board at Rachel's house. You're not going to get one at mine. Like that, it's not going to be there. It's not happening. And if you invite me to a party to make one, I'm not coming.
Even better.
It sounds like a lot 100%. Of work. I don't know if it's fun. It sounds like work.
but the joy is eating it around the table.
And I will say this. It looks good. Like grapes and cheese and crackers.
Oh, God.
That's fabulous. Yes, so I've thought about it because it looks really good. Like something good to just have laying out there to just grab and go, you know? Maybe one day, Rachel. Maybe one day. Maybe one day. Send me some pictures of that book on your coffee table and inspire
me. I will. I will do that. I will.
And then the last thing, like when you things that you're doing when you're not teaching and writing, and this is what's so fun because you say you enjoy hanging out with your best friend, which is your husband, Justin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But then also laughing with girlfriends and sitting in the sunshine. Mm-hmm. And like, we've already done that. We're already laughing. So
we are already laughing. And that is just, you know what? There's already so much hard in the world. We gotta laugh.
That's right. And you welcome that into our conversation, and you're so right. I love that. It's a sweet time to just sit and laugh with your friends. And then this is what we're going to talk more about as we move into, you are also the founder and chief encourager of All of Us. And I'm going to spell that in a minute because I know how it sounds, but it's actually different than it sounds. You're the founder and chief encourager of All of Us, which is a collection of everyday women of faith who recount their stories to remember the goodness and faithfulness of God, so that others can see God at work and feel encouraged, uplifted, and connected in their personal lives. And so we're about to really kind of break this down because we're doing a series on the podcast about scripture, about God's word. And what I just read is just steeped in all of that. So let's go back just to the name of this ministry that you have. And it's All of Us, but it's not like three words, All of Us. But that's where it started, right? It started as all.
That's right. Baba.
So tell me more about that and where it started and how you landed on the current name, and tell us more about that.
Awesome. Yeah. So I love how God works. You know, sometimes he gives us the full picture of what something will look like right away. And then other times, most times, I believe he just plants these little seeds in our hearts and we write them down and we mm-hmm. keep track of them. And at one point in my studies, I just fell in love with the olive tree. I kept seeing it in scripture. It popped up all over the place. And so I just got curious about it. I said, Lord, why does this keep popping out at me in scripture? The first place I saw it was in Psalm 52, verse 8, where it says, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly." And so I was like, okay, olive tree. I need to know more about that. So then I began to actually research the properties of an olive tree, how it was protective, indestructible. It was a representation of peace and friendship. It meant abundance and generosity. And so fell in love with that, wrote it down. And then at another time I had written down, well, all of us, the three words, A-L-L-O-F-U-S. And I said, you know what? I want whatever I do, Lord, whatever it looks like, for it to incorporate women and you and how the connection to you and the connection for us as women is strong. And then at another time, he brought this all together for me. I have a friend here in San Francisco who we laugh at her, but she's so creative. She loves puns. And so I literally was with her talking to her about this vision I had of bringing women together. How I had written down all of us, three words. And she said, "Rachel, all of us." She's like, "Didn't you talk to me about the olive tree and how much you love that?" She's like, "What if you just said all of us and use the olive mm-hmm. as, you know, the words instead of the three words of all of us?" And I said, "That's it." And so it all came together, you know, through a series of me being a mom, you know, like mm-hmm. vacuuming and mm-hmm. shouting out ideas to my husband and writing down things and just getting curious. But it was God that took me to that place in scripture. And it was God who gave me these little ideas over years of time, Katie. And yeah, that the recounting and the olive tree just kind of started from that place.
I love that. And what I want to do, because I'm like writing as I'm listening to you, because one thing that we have talked about over the course of the last several weeks is just what does it look like to study the Bible? What does it look like to to go deeper in the Word of God personally? And you said some things that I just wanted to kind of go back and trace, because it's such an we can do this. Like what you just said, and you know, we're listening to this leadership of the Lord in your life through his word. And what the there's a bit of a pattern that I noticed that we can apply. So the first thing that I noticed in what you were just describing is that you were reading your Bible regularly. Like here we are, and you have this ministry called Olive Us, and it started with you reading your Bible regularly. Okay. So if you're listening and you're like, "That is so cool." Well, guess where it started for Rachel? It started with her coming to the Word regularly. And this was not even something you were looking for or asking God about. You were just in his Word. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's exciting, right? Because we can all do that.
Yes.
And then the next thing that I love is that what you did is while you were reading and coming to God's Word regularly, you noticed that God kept in his Word, this word olive kept jumping out at you, kept standing out to you. So you noticed, you came to the Word regularly, you noticed what God was kind of bringing up off of the page as you were regularly coming to his Word. And then you just kind of dug more into that. So I do want you to tell me a little more, like when you were like, okay, so I'm coming to my Bible regularly, and I'm noticing olive keeps coming up in these scriptures. Tell me, when you went to find out more about that, what did it look like? I mean, was that a dictionary? Was that like a, what does the word olive mean? Tell me more about that process.
Right. So, like I said, it started in Psalm 52, 8 and 9, where that's where I kind of, he really caught my attention to the olive tree. But then after that, when I saw it, you know, I remembered back with Noah, you know, and the olive branch and how it meant peace, and that Noah could know, okay, like we're coming to dry land now. And then I started to recall different instances in the Bible that I had read in my past, you know, studies and time with the Lord. And then it was, so it was the word, and then it was, but let me see, like, what was it like back in that time? Well, it was in the Mediterranean, and the olive trees, you know, were a symbol of, in Greek, of, you know, a peace and friendship, and literally going on Google and, and understanding, you know, like, what are the properties of the olive tree? Why did this come up? Yes, it came up because that's the tree that was prominent in the Mediterranean and in that area, but it was also a symbol. The Lord could have used any kind of tree. You know, he could have used anything to symbolize peace with Noah in the beginning, but he chose an olive tree, and he is purposeful in what he writes and what he shows us and how many times he tells us over and over in scripture. I've just noticed that when the Lord speaks and when he reminds us of things over and over in the scripture to pay attention. So Katie, it was really my curiosity and it was the quietness of, okay, Lord, what do you want to show me in this passage? Because what may illuminate for me, Katie, may be different from you or from another listener. That may not pop out for you, but it popped out for me. And God wanted me to see it and to explore it. And so curiosity, just staying in his word, he'll take you where you know he wants you to go. And from that, it may birth a ministry, or it might just be something sweet that he shows you that just gets cemented in your heart, and you forever are changed because of it, you know? So it's great to just notice those patterns.
Yeah. And like you said, I mean, if all you do is have an encounter with God, like that is, there's nothing better. Not on this side of heaven, right?
No, that's true. That's
and
true.
And so, but the two words that you just said that I want to repeat are curiosity and quietness. And so, like, to me, that's the difference between, like, sitting up straight in your chair and leaning in a little, like, expecting to learn something, find something, hear from the Lord. But then the quietness, and that one can be difficult. Quietness is not something that is, it's not a luxury for us anymore. Everywhere we go, it's noise. And so the quietness of being still long enough to let God speak, those are both beautiful things. And then the other thing that I don't want to skip over, as you were telling about learning about the olive, is you said two different things. One, you were writing things down. And the other thing you said about, like, yelling it to your husband while you're vacuuming, but regardless, you're still speaking it. You're sharing it.
Yes.
You're saying it out loud. And I do think that the writing down or the sharing out loud with a friend or a husband is really is a really big part of this process, because some of us are internal processors, some of us are external, but regardless, when you speak it or write it, you are, I believe, more likely to remember it and more likely to continue it, if you will. So I didn't want to skip over that, but there's so much more to talk about. So I just want to put that out there for you who are listening to add that, say it to someone or write it down as you're reading God's word, as he's showing you things, as you're learning more about things. But then, so we have where you, I love the story of how all of us came into being with the name that it has, but I want to talk a little bit more about why it's there, because I love what you say is it's a collection of everyday women of faith who recount their stories to remember the goodness and faithfulness of God. And so I know, just having talked to you, that recounting and remembering the goodness and faithfulness of God is something that gets you really excited.
So excited.
So first, tell me about just the remembering of the goodness and faithfulness of God in scripture, because I know it's there and it's just woven throughout scripture. So let's start there about the goodness and faithfulness of God that we find in scripture.
Right. So real quick, before I get into that, Katie, I want to also point out when you mentioned the example of me vacuuming and telling my husband and the importance of writing it down, is that is recounting. Like, that's recounting story, and story, as we know, matters to God. You know, he teaches us in parables, and, you know, recounting is merely just going over in detail and narrating an event and describing it. But the reason that we recount is to remember so that we can trust. And so we see that early on in scripture of how God is saying, you know, you have to remember, Moses, remember my promise. Abraham, remember my promise. Joseph, remember my promise. Like he says it over and over and over. And we have these ways that we see it in scripture, whether it's through like the various feasts, you know, that we find in Leviticus, where it's like, why is it important that we remember all these feasts? Mm-hmm. You know, there's seven feasts and it's like, God wanted them to remember the promises that he had told them. Or, you know, you think about Joshua and he's crossing over the Jordan and God tells them, you know, put these remembrance stones down. Mm-hmm. So he's using physical items and he's like, tell your children so that they can tell their children what I did, not only when you cross the Red Sea with Moses, but whenever you cross this Jordan River, right? So he's telling us there's tangible ways that we can remember. Mm-hmm. We do this together, you know, through the meals and the recounting and the word and the parables. And so it's different ways that God shows us throughout scripture, but it is very clear that God knows who he created. And he created wonderful men and women like you and like me that have short-term memory. And
bless.
We have short-term memory and he knows that he created us. And so what does God do? Because he's such a good gift giver, he gives us very different ways that we can remember his covenant. We can remember who he is, which is he's good and he's faithful, that he's powerful, that he's worthy of praise and honor, and that we can pursue him despite our season or circumstance. And so we see that over and over and over and over again.
Wow. I mean, there's just so much there. I honestly, if I were listening right now, I would go back and I would take what you just said in 5-second chunks and then like write it all down. But just, you gave us such a beautiful example or understanding of why it is so important for us to recount God's goodness and faithfulness. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you two things on that. I want to ask you, but I'm going to say the question first, but I don't want you to answer it first, but I do want to, I want to ask you like practical ways for us to do that now. Like we're not going to go get stones up out of the Jordan River, right? And make a,
sure.
Right. Yeah. So, but, right. Practical ways like that, that was extremely practical. And you go back to that example in the book of Joshua, and that was something that they were going to see over and over and over, right? And so I love, so it was very practical, not just in the sense of doing it, but in the sense of they're going to keep seeing it. So they're going to keep remembering, right? So I do want to talk about some practical ways that we can do that. But before we get to that, can you speak to the woman who is saying, yeah, but I need help finding the goodness and faithfulness of God? Like, where is that when I try to recount my story or even when I try to recount my day? Can you speak to her for a minute? Just maybe before we recount the goodness and faithfulness of God, ways that we can recognize it, be alert to it, aware of it.
Yes, yes. So this is hard, particularly, I would say, for women and for mamas. You know, we are so busy and we're running from the next thing. And so I would tell that, or you're in a tough season. Mm-hmm. So I would tell that woman to slow, like as crazy and busy as life can be, to slow, because when we slow, then we can begin to see. Mm-hmm. And when we're hurried, it's really hard to recognize how God has been good and faithful in your day. Especially if you were raised in the church, you've been following Jesus for a long time. You can say, oh yeah, well, God, you know, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And yes, he's worthy of praise and all that. But in the middle of your day, that practically looks like recognizing through word, like waking up and saying, God, thank you so much for breath in my lungs that I'm able to breathe today. And it's just seeing the goodness in your day. That might be the weather. That might be breath. That might be in your children. That might be in that warm cup of coffee that you are able to heat up. Like just turning your eyes and attention to what is that you can practically see in your day. And then once you do that, then you can begin to build on and create just a daily practice of remembering. And that daily practice of remembering, it reminds you that those are actually miracles. And you can live out of those little tiny and huge miracles that you see in your day to where it's real to you. Because I can tell you to go to Psalms and you'll find recounting throughout the whole thing. And I do encourage you to do so. Mm-hmm. But if you want to say, okay, yes, but how is this applicable to my life? Start to just pay attention and start to speak them out or start to journal it out. And that kind of gets into the second part of your question.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And before we get into that, I'm going to repeat what you said, because it just, when we slow, then we can begin to see. And I think that if that's all you remember from this, it makes so much sense, because you think about when you are hurried getting to the next place you're on your way to, you'll miss, you know, the things along the road. I mean, just like practically, if you're walking, if you're running down a road with your eyes fixed on the finish line, like a literal finish line, you're not going to see what's on either side of that road, right? You're not going to notice what's on the road that you're running down. But when we slow, then we can begin to see. I love that. And then I do also want to, you said, I can send you to Psalms, where you'll read the psalmist, and a different psalmist, not always the same one who wrote the psalm, but recounting the goodness and faithfulness of God. And so that is helpful. And like you said, it's getting into practical, but let me ask you, when you say I can send you to Psalms, is it really any psalms, like just open and start reading, or are you thinking of some specific psalms?
Oh, there's a lot of specific ones, but I'll point us to several ones. The first one that kind of sent me on this journey of recounting to remember and having it be such a big part of my life and my ministry at All of Us was Psalm 9:1, which says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. And then the psalmist, in this case, David, starts to go over all these different ways. I was oppressed in times of trouble and you rescued me. You know, I was, you know, so he goes, starts to go through all of that. So Psalm 9:1 is always, like I say, my favorite one, because that's where it kind of all started for me. Mm-hmm. But Psalm 78 is also a really, really good psalm. It talks about all the ways that the Israelites forgot about God, forgot about how he rescued them. And then there's these couple of parts in this Psalm 78 that's worth pointing out that I circle. It's yet he, and it's like, in spite of ourselves, in spite of our sin, in spite of all the times that we forget of his goodness and faithfulness, yet he still rescues, yet he still comes through, right? Yet he remembers his covenant. And so that's another great one. But not all the psalms are recounting psalms, but many of them are. I think I've got them all bookmarked just for my own personal, you know, so I can remember, because again, remembering causes us to trust. And when we stop remembering, or when we're too hurried, which the enemy would love, we forget who God is. It doesn't matter how long you're serving him, because our memories are just short term, and because we're human, we can so easily forget. And so we've got to renew our minds daily with what is true, and what, you know, and who God is, his character. And so the Psalms are a great place to start. Although, again, like, recounting is all over the Bible. It's everywhere.
And so really, that's a practical way to begin remembering the goodness and faithfulness of God. Go to the Psalms and read that recounting. What are some other practical ways that we can remember the goodness and faithfulness of God?
So I love talking about this one, Katie, because this one involves my spouse, and it also now involves my kids because they're old enough, but I call it the blessings box. And what the blessings box is that when we were married, we got married, we're celebrating 10 years of marriage this year. And when we got married, we got gifted this beautiful box. I don't even know if you would call it a box, but it's what we call it. It's a box. And what we use that for is we put sticky notes, we put a permanent marker inside. And from the beginning of our marriage, we started to write down ways in which we saw God show up and show out in our lives. So little blessings that have happened in our marriage, or whether that was something personally that we experienced. So if God blessed us with a financial blessing, we'd write it down, put the date on the piece of sticky note, and then put it inside the blessings box. And then at our anniversary, we would sit down and we would recount to remember God's goodness and faithfulness over that last year. And we would pray, and we would remember, and we would pray together, and we would thank God for what he showed us. And then at the 5-year mark, we would read all of them from the last 5 years because we have forgotten even the amazing good things. And now that we've got children that are old enough, we have done our very best to include them in this so that they can begin to see the blessings in their own life and in our family's life, and they can write down blessings and put them in the blessings box. So that's just a really practical way that you can remember alongside your spouse, alongside your kids, and start to develop and strengthen this muscle of remembering. And so that's one way. Another way is just the typical journal. You know, some of us like to journal. Some of us journal through voice notes on our phone. Those are two and three other ways that you can remember God's goodness and faithfulness. I know friends that do just sticky notes on their mirror for the week. And that's the way that when they're brushing their teeth, they can look over, you know, how God's been good and faithful in their life. And so, yeah, there's a lot of ways that we can do it. And a lot of that is through the telling a story. So it can be like, you know, you recounting your day to your husband and sharing that, or it's sharing the stories among girlfriends or friends or in your ministry or however, you know, you verbally want to tell the story. But it's really just finding a way to capture in detail how God has showed you who he is, how he showed you his sovereignty, and how he's been, you know, good and faithful in your life.
And for those, I'll say this, I'm not much of a journaler. I've said it before on the podcast. This is not news to the girl who's showing up every day for this podcast. But for those who are like, oh, she said journal again. I have, you know, you could, it could be as simple as one sentence a day. Like if you just said, I want to write down one thing, and then it keeps you from never doing it because it feels so overwhelming. And, you know, it doesn't even have to be a sentence like with a subject and a verb. It could just be a phrase, you know. I think that could maybe help us begin journaling. And the whole time you're talking, Rachel, I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at these pictures in front of me on my wall that I printed out at the end of the year and I put up in frames, above my desk, and it's our family. And it's a little bit of a snapshot of the last year. And some of it's with me and my girls and some of it's with me and my husband and some of it's the whole family. And each one of these, like I'm looking at it, I have one, the kids are, their heads are up to the sky and their mouths are open. They're catching raindrops in their mouths. And I, you know, you look at that picture and then you go, thank you. You can recount God's goodness and faithfulness on that day, you know, instead of, and then I'm listening to you and I'm thinking about all of the stories that we do recount. We recount our wedding day. We recount the day our children were born. We might recount a graduation day. You might recount, you know, the last football game of the season of your high school year, right? There are these moments in our lives that we do recount regularly. We tell those stories. And then that leads me to think of the old hymn, I love to tell the story. And it's the whole hymn is about telling the story of what God has done in my life through Jesus. Telling the story of Jesus because of how he saved me. And so I love these practical ways. And so often they might be visual triggers. But even as we look back over the moments that we always have on our phone, right? We can just scroll through all the pictures that we wanted to remember and that we might have a story to recount. And even looking for the goodness and the faithfulness of those things that we've already recounted, looking for the goodness and the faithfulness of God in those things as we recount those stories. And I'm just throwing that in there because that was what I was thinking as you were talking. I want to go ahead.
I was just going to say, Katie, one more thing, as you're talking about your family and your pictures, you know, we do recall some of the same stories that we have experienced. And what we've done is those memories have transferred from short-term memory to long-term memory because we have told them over and over and over again. So this process, I've been, again, researching this for a while now, but this process of taking like short-term memories and making them long-term memories, this is called maintenance rehearsal. And so this is, again, God knows how he made us. And short-term memories only last for like 15 to 30 seconds. And there, we have a couple of them that we can keep in our minds at one time. So what if we did that with the word of God? And what if we did that with the things in our life that he's brought us, you know, through that we want to remember and just continue to tell the story in whatever way, you know, suits us best, so that we cannot forget who he is and turn those short-term, you know, memories into long-term memories so that they stick, so that we can remember who God is and we, you know, and then we won't forget it.
That is so good. Woo, so good. And it's something we can all do. Rachel, thank you so much for the blessing of all that you have shared today. As we close, is there anything else that you want to say before we leave?
Oh, no, I think just that, you know, remember that God keeps his covenant to us and he always goes before us. And because he went before us, he was the best model of why recounting to remember is important. And because he remembers his covenant to us, we can do our very best to remember and recount what he's been in our lives, because he's so good and he's so faithful and he's worthy of trusting.
Yes, so good, Rachel. Thank you. Such a great word to end on. And I'm just so thankful for you being here and spending your time with us today. And thank you to you. Thank you for joining us, for pulling up a seat at the table as Rachel and I have this conversation, you guys. And I just pray for those of you who have listened with us today, that you have found one thing that you can take away today and apply to your life so that today can be your best day ever. Thank you for joining us.